Kim.
Well, Sonny, I understand you're beginning with a baseball great.
Kim, throughout February, our VOA colleague James Buddy had daily Black History Month segments on our Daybreak Africa radio show. And James wraps things up with a February 29th fact about Major League Baseball slugger Hank Aaron.
On this day in 1972, Hank Aaron signed a $200,000 contract, becoming the first player in Major League Baseball to get that amount of money. Today, some baseball players make as much as $24 million a year. In May 1970, Aaron became the first player in baseball to record 500 homers and 3,000 hits. He is best known, however, for breaking Babe Ruth's record of 714 career home runs, which he established in
1935. Sports?
Hear about it first, right here on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Joining us on the Sunny Side of Sports is VOA intern Rick Narciss. Sporty greetings, Rick.
Hey, Sonny.
I understand you're a basketball player.
Yeah, I play at Marymount University.
Where is it located for our VOA listeners?
We're right outside of D.C. in Arlington, Virginia.
What are you studying at Marymount, Rick?
Communications.
What attracted you to the internship program at the Voice of America?
My advisor recommended it for me. We had a lot of students that came through this program. Well, not under you, but VOA overall. And I talked to some of them. They said they had a great experience here. And I thought I'd try my hand at it.
And what year are you at Marymount?
This is my senior year. Okay. I'll be graduating at the end of this spring.
So would you like to maybe go into the communications field?
I would really like that. Anything with sports.
Let's talk sports. Basketball, what level is Marymount University in terms of collegiate basketball?
We are Division III.
Okay, now can you explain how Division III differs from, say, Division II or Division I?
Well, Division I, you get a scholarship, you can get a full ride and go to school free, whereas D3, your scholarship money basically comes off of how well you did academically in high school. So basically, you're going to get money for your brains and rather than your athletic ability.
Did Marymount recruit you out of high school?
Yeah, they came to a bunch of my games. They really made me feel wanted. Which was why it made it easy to go there.
Okay, talk about your basketball experience at Marymount. Maybe not so much wins and losses, but how you developed as a student athlete.
We got a lot of help from our coach. He was always there, staying on top of us, helping us plan things out. As an athlete, I struggled with some injuries, had a lot of concussions.
Wow! How was it from like contact on the court or?
Yeah, on the court, I ran into somebody one time. I went up a guy's tooth went into the side of my head.
Ooh!
Yeah.
Now, are there like what do they call it? Concussion protocols in the case of when you suffer an injury like that?
Yeah, you have to retake this test a million times, and it's a test. I feel like even at your best mental capabilities, it's a tough test to pass. You have to remember all these words, all these numbers, shapes, all these weird shapes. So it was a tough one to come back from because I couldn't like remember these shapes to save my life.
What was your most memorable game at Marymount?
Probably my senior night. My senior night game, I tied my career high in points. At 21, had 9 rebounds and had my career high in steals with 6. So it's probably the biggest one for me that I remember.
And how did the fans respond on senior night?
We have one of my teammates, his family runs this group of younger kids. They do like camps for them and they're on a travel team. So they all came out, and after the game, I got a dunk at the end of the game.
Oh, wow.
And they all just came over, and they were asking for my autograph. Like,
well, that must have made you feel pretty good.
Yeah, I felt real good about that.
Let's talk more basketball, Rick. LeBron James. LeBron might be your favorite player, right?
LeBron is my favorite player, but Steph is making a strong case for best player in the world right now.
Yeah, great player, exciting player. Another exciting player, you recently wrote about him, Emmanuel Mudiay of the Denver Nuggets. You might even be older than Mudiay, right?
Yeah.
19 and starting in the NBA. What can you tell our listeners about that blog post you wrote, Rick?
Like I mentioned in the blog post, Mudiay is a bit of a world traveler. He was born in the Democratic Republic of Congo. His family left, came to the United States, stayed in Texas. They spoke French coming up.
Mm.
Then he went over to China to play professional ball for a year instead of going to college. And so he's been all over the place. Big fan of his game. He can really pass the ball.
He's a rugged type of player too, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, 6'5", big for a guard.
Yeah, he's a bigger guard. He's really explosive. Hard to stay in front of him.
And would you say Mudiay is an example of how maybe the NBA is becoming more international in recent years in terms of the players in the league?
Yeah, you've seen the NBA respond to like the international presence, especially with the Rising Stars game, how they've decided to split up the teams geographically. So Team World featuring all the international players and then Team USA featuring the American players. That game's always a lot of fun to watch.
Thanks, Rick. That's VOA intern Rick Narciss speaking with us at our Voice of America studios here in Washington. Joining us now with a package of African athletic news is Mark Ouma.
Kenyans Bedan Karoki and Mary Washira prevailed at the world best 10-kilometer road race in San Juan, Puerto Rico on Sunday. In an exciting sprint for the finish line among Kenyans, Karoki pipped Leonard Barsotom to win the men's race. Both were credited with an identical time of 27 minutes and 42 seconds. Stephen Sambu was 6 seconds behind, while Philip Kiprono and John Mwangangi registered an identical time of exactly 28 minutes. Meanwhile, Mary Washira triumphed in the women's race in 31 minutes. And 49 seconds. Ethiopian Olympic 10,000-meter bronze medalist Belianesh Oljira was 2 seconds behind. Kenyans Veronica Nyarua, Lynette Masai, and Monica Ngige Wanjiku followed in that order. In Japan, Kenyan Hela Kiprop and Ethiopian Feisa Lelisa triumphed at the Tokyo Marathon on Sunday. Kiprop improved her personal best by over 2 minutes when she clocked 2 hours, 21 minutes and 27 seconds, and in the process set the women's course record. Ethiopian Tirfet Tsegei held the previous mark at 2 hours, 22 minutes and 23 seconds since 2014. On Sunday, Ethiopian Amane Gobena was runner-up. Kenyan two-time world champion Edna Kiplagat was third. She was followed by Ethiopia's Abera Kebede, then defending champion Behane Dibaba. Meanwhile, Ethiopia's Feisa Lelisa clocked 2 hours, 6 minutes and 56 seconds to win the men's race. Kenyans followed Bernard Kipyego, then defending champion Dickson Chumba. Ugandan Olympic champion Stephen Kiprotich was fourth, ahead of Kenyan two-time world champion Abel Kirui.
Thanks, Mark. That's Mark Ouma of our Daybreak Africa radio show. Meanwhile, after the Tokyo Marathon, it was announced that Kenyan athletes Eliud Kipchoge and Mary Keitany are the winners of the latest World Marathon Majors Series. And Kipchoge and Keitany received some nice prize money, $500,000 each. The champions are the male and female athletes who scored the most points during the one-year scoring period. The most recent period comprised the following marathons: last year's Tokyo, Boston, London, Berlin, Chicago, and New York City marathons, as well as the men's and women's marathons at the 2015 World Championships in Beijing and the 2016 Tokyo Marathon held Sunday. Eliud Kipchoge won the London and Berlin marathons in 2015, while Mary Keitany won the 2015 New York City Marathon, and she finished second at the 2015 London Marathon. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny.
Andrew, what is trending on this Monday in the sports world?
Well, even though it's Monday and it happened a few days ago, people are still talking about this amazing performance by Steph Curry, 12 three-pointers that he made in a game against Oklahoma City Thunder.
Incredible shooting performance.
It ties an NBA record, and the icing on the cake was that the last three-pointer came with 0.6 seconds left in the game in overtime, and it secured the Golden State Warriors the victory.
I watched the highlights of that, Andrew, over and over and over again. And what makes it kind of unique when you watch Curry, he is so far behind that three-point line. These are long-range shots.
And that was what social media was talking about. I mean, first of all, social media being so visually connected now, you had tons of people posting the video, rewatching the video over and over again as you were. And then just, you know, the absurdity of how far back he was, people just tweeting out and saying he's amazing, he's, you know, the greatest, to a lot of question who's greater, LeBron or Steph Curry, a lot of debate about that on social media. And even the players themselves and the teams tweeting out saying hats off to him. Mm. The NBA tweeting out and saying Curry from the parking lot. So they're having a little fun with it. But the fans certainly, too. Even, you know, Oklahoma fans, I think, were taking to social media saying this is pretty amazing.
In fact, I saw one meme. I think that's what they call it, meme on social media, where Curry was in outer space and he was taking that shot. Looked like he was shooting at the moon.
Yeah.
And he probably made the shot, I would guess.
I wouldn't be surprised. And it's funny you mentioned that, because I remember during the World Cup, we saw a lot of those memes that were very instantaneous, you know, Van Persieing, where he's kind of, you know, floating like Superman. So with Steph Curry, it's very similar. You know, it speaks to his status as an athlete, especially on social media, that people can plug him into these memes and he becomes kind of a pop culture phenomenon in addition to a sports phenomenon.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. I received a tweet from none other than Hall of Fame basketball player Bill Walton, who thanked me for my comments after Big Bill posted a photo of him and his son Luke before a recent game between the Portland Trailblazers and the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors with Steph Curry. Luke served as Golden State's interim coach to start the season as head coach Steve Kerr recovered from back surgery. And I told his father via tweet that Luke did a great job. In fact, he guided the Warriors to a 39-4 record, the second best start in NBA history, and then Kerr resumed coaching. And Andrew, I think my reaction, that's the second time Walton has sent me a tweet, so he clearly reads his Twitter feed.
You have a good Twitter fan there. It's always nice to have somebody like that as a Twitter fan. So,
what else is trending, Andrew?
Well, speaking of Bill Walton, I was watching one of the NCAA basketball games. It's the college basketball league here in the United States. The NCAA was a National Collegiate Athletics Association.
Right,
I believe.
Right.
So it's college basketball. Bill Walton was at one of the games between Arizona and Utah, and it's starting to percolate that time of year again on social media. Everyone's wondering about the NCAA tournament. This is, of course, the 68-team bracket-style tournament where you play off and work your way down to a final two teams and then one champion.
But single elimination.
Single elimination. So a lot of questions about who's going to be in, who's going to be out. And that bracket will be released, I believe, in about 2 weeks. But over the next 2 weeks, you have the teams playing off, going for their conference championships, trying to make their way into the tournament. So a lot of people on social media wondering who those teams will be, cheering for their team, saying, I hope we can make it. A lot of speculation. So even before the tournament begins, this is a fun time on social media with all the speculation.
And I remember we recently talked about the Super Bowl. That NCAA tournament has to be one of the more popular sporting events in the USA.
Absolutely. And especially in the first 2 days of the tournament, you have, 32 games. And so it really is, as much as the Super Bowl is like a national holiday here in the U.S., a sports holiday, so is these 2 days of the NCAA tournament. Everyone's glued to the TVs watching. The games are rapid fire. About every 15 minutes, there's another
game
starting.
That's right. Andrew Palcheski, the voice of America.